Good morning. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jalene. And today we're talking about what happens when a player ditches a game.
Wow. So we were recently at a con and a player, 2 hours after we were playing and we took a meal break, left and never
came back.
Never came back. And took the character sheet, which I thought was weird.
So Saul, he's not coming back?
It was kind of weird. So I got me thinking, or me and Jalene thinking, what do we do when that happens as a GM? That can be very disappointing as a GM. But also, what do you do? What happens with the game, right? What happens with the game that you're running? What can you do to mitigate the loss of that player?
Well, our GM did, I think he did it right. Just, okay, the doctor's gone. Figure it out. He didn't say it that way, by the way.
No, he didn't. But
he was kind of a crucial character because we didn't have anybody to do any medical stuff. Not only heal people, but figure stuff out because we were playing Star Trek and we needed some analysis.
Medical stuff, right? So I thought it was interesting. What do you do in that situation? That GM, he just said, okay, he's dead.
The doctor is unavailable.
Right. And so we were left to our own devices.
Which we did. We did perfectly well. We just, other people used, like the science officer used his stuff to figure it out.
Right. But we were at a disadvantage because we didn't have the medical stuff, which this character
had. Which was an important thing in this particular
scenario. Which was an important thing in this game.
But most of the people at the table have been playing role-playing games for a long time. So we just went on without it and didn't even worry about it.
I think they were all very, really veteran players.
So I think that helped in the fact that everybody was like, okay, well, if the doctor can't do it, then we'll just figure it out some other way.
Yeah, I was thinking about, it hasn't happened too many times, me going to conventions, people just ditching the game. I remember it happened in the game I was playing in where somebody said that they had to go get, the dog got loose and left, and I wasn't playing in the game, but I didn't. I just happened to be sitting, happened to walk in and watching the game, and then I just sat in and started playing.
When that guy said that, I was in that game, and I thought, and I looked at my brother-in-law who was running the game and said, I don't think he's coming back. And he goes, no. And we just...
Oh, was there another player that goes, oh, does that mean I'm in?
Oh, I think so.
Right, there was some guy. Yeah. Okay.
It was a space opera game, and these people wanted to try it.
Right. And then there was another one where I was a GM, and I was running what I consider a tight game, right? Because I only have a certain amount of players. I think at that time I had 5 players. It might have been 6. And
each one of them needed to do something?
It was Blade Runner.
So theoretically.
So they all had skills that overlap, but then some skills didn't overlap. Right. And that's why this person was very important. But it was weird because he was a really good player and he was very active in the game, except that he had only gotten like 2 or 3 hours the night before and he just was like dead tired.
Yeah.
And he goes, I hate to do this to you guys. And he apologized to me and he goes, and he told me what happened and he goes, I just can't go. I go, well, okay, well, you know, do what's best for your health wise,
right?
And we'll play the game. And so we went with a player short, but he lasted. It was a 6 to 12
hour.
No, from 6 p.m. to 12.
Ah,
so it was a 6 hour game, and I think he left around almost 10 o'clock. So he was there for 4 hours and. He stuck it out as long as he could. And I didn't feel like, oh, man, the guy's ditching my game because he doesn't like it. And because he goes, no, this is a great game, but I just can't.
Stay awake.
I can't function. And he goes, and I could tell because he would doze off, you know, like, I'm like, are you okay? He goes, oh, yeah, I'm fine. And you could see his head bobbing. And then finally he said,
hey, he pulled a Saul.
That's not funny.
But just like you and Felipe and the guy that was running our game, Jonah. He just went, okay, well, this player's not here anymore. He took the character sheet, so we don't actually have the option of somebody taking over that character. So I guess you're just going to have to do it without him. The doctor is not available anymore.
Right. And I think that depends on the game. Though it's more difficult on a game like that one, which I consider Star Trek a tight game because everybody has position to fulfill and every position is important. Like the chief medical officer, right? That's pretty important part of almost any Star Trek game, because there's gonna be a point or a situation where they're gonna need a medical question answered. You know, what kind of virus is this, or what is happening to the people here? Oh, I don't know. You know, we don't know. What I mean by a tight game, and I'll give you an example. I ran a Bethorm game, which is years ago, based on the Empire of the Pedal Throne, and Bethorm had just came out. And I even wrote to the person who did the Kickstarter. I go, look, I want you to run your game at a convention coming up, but your PDF isn't even out yet. Is there any way you can give me your? And I emailed him. Any way you can give me like anything that you have? And he sent. He goes, yeah, sure. Just don't, you know, share this, blah blah blah. I'm like, okay. So I ran a game, and it was very. And what I mean by tight is I had six players. Each player had a kind of like a goal to do in the game. Like they had to accomplish this. Or it was very important for them to do this. And usually it was at odds with other players of the game.
When that person was gone and didn't have the...
Yes. So when that person left... Oh, no, I mean, not nobody left in that game. But if somebody had left in that game, I would have really been like, oh, what am I going to do with that thread of that whole idea of his conflict with this other player and him wanting to help this other player if that player is not there. So in a tight game like that where things are really intermixed, and at the time I was kind of confident that I could get six people to play this almost unknown game. And luckily I did have six players in each time I ran it. But if I hadn't, I would have been up the creek kind of as far as the big part of my game because of the politics and all this other stuff. Another game I ran was War Stories. I had six players. Even though everybody knows how to shoot a gun in the military, they each had a certain section that
specific
they were...
skills.
No, they had general skills. But each character had specific skills, how to do something that was important in the game. And if they were missing, again, I would have had to like, well, what am I going to do? Like, so for example, let's say you have, no matter what genre, you need a thief, right? For a certain part of the adventure, whether it's to break into a room, break into a vault, open a safe, or anything like that. And that guy decides to ditch your game halfway through the game.
Well, I think that you just have to suck it up, let the brute bash through so you can get to what you need to do and deal with the consequences.
Okay, so that's one way. And in fact, that's one way I put it down. Let other players solve it by their own
means,
skills.
Yeah, the way right? they're going to do it.
And that's what happened in Jonah's game, right? The Star Trek game.
Yeah.
Is like, well, we needed medical to figure stuff out.
We didn't have it. We used the life science, the science officer.
The science officer, and to get as close as we could
also
to the answer.
Also, the EXO had planetary knowledge, which was basically about Xeno or people that weren't. Different planets. She had the knowledge, right? So we added in her skill to the science officer.
Right, to kind of fill in the holes, but it would have been much easier had we had the science officer.
Also, we all rolled very well.
Oh, that's true.
So we got stuff done without... I think that's the way that you should go about it. Go, okay, well, we lost this person. They took the character sheet, so... You guys are just going to have to figure it out.
Well, but the situation there is that everybody there was an experienced role player. You know,
right.
Everybody had years of playing role playing. There was not a young person in that group. I believe
the average age
was probably like 50 something.
I was probably the youngest one there, except for Jonah, because he's a couple years younger than me.
The only person I don't. Okay, how many people were playing? Six?
Six, yeah. And Jonah. The doctor was seven.
Oh, the doctor was seven. So I remember the captain, mm-hmm. and I remember the science officer, mm-hmm. I remember me,
mm-hmm.
you, and the lady.
And the train guy.
The train guy?
The guy that liked trains.
I don't remember him at all.
He was the engineer.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right. Then
That says nothing about the engineer, only solves memory currently.
Right. I just don't remember what he looked like. I have no recollection of that guy, which is kind of weird. Because I remember everybody else perfectly. Right?
He was sitting directly across the table from you.
Well, that might have been the problem. I have that that hole in my vision. No, no, that's kidding. Not remembering what he looked like, what I'm trying to figure out is the average age in that players of the room was over 50.
Yes.
Okay. That's kind of scary. We all had been playing role-playing games, I figure.
At least 20 years.
At least 20 years.
Probably and, a lot probably more. More.
Right. I thought it was very interesting that we were able to, we as the players, were able to go around that whole situation.
And nobody was really fazed by it. We just said, oh, the doctor's not available now. Figure it out.
Shrugged our shoulders and go, okay, it's Star Trek.
And a lot of that had to do with the fact that Jonah was not like, oh my God, there's no doctor. What are we going to do?
He's he didn't panic. Well,
the doctor's not here. Then let's just keep going.
Right. So,
which is the way that you should do it, right? As the GM, right? You just calm, panic. Collective, no panic.
So I wrote down what a GM can do, right? I wrote down pivot. GM needs to be able to adjust. And I think in this case, because we, the players, were so experienced, Jonah didn't have to adjust much because he stuck to his, like, oh, you guys don't have a medical officer. Well, like, we wanted to answer a question about medical. Like, well, he goes, well, sorry. He goes, well, I'm a medical officer. Okay, well, I guess we're stuck. Well, but we attacked it from different angles.
Right.
What you're saying. Him needing to adjust things didn't need to happen because we were.
Because all of the players adjusted.
Right.
Right.
And we were like, okay, well, we just got to
deal. Well, if we can't do that, then we'll just do this.
Yeah, we got to deal with the situation that we have on, have in front of us.
I think that's the way that most role-playing games are, right? Even if you do have the medical officer, you're still going to come up with, you may come up with something that none of you have the skills for, right?
Right, right. In this case, I was thinking to pivot, you know, what can the GM do? The GM could adjust characters and say, okay, like he could have said, oh, you know what? The science officer, he has a little bit of medical training. He could do, I'll give him 3 points or 1 point in whatever.
Right.
I think as a GM, that's perfectly okay to do.
Also, as a GM, you could just, you're just going to have to talk to the medical officer through the comm because he's stuck here. Maybe he can give you a little advice or something like that, right?
Right. Or becomes an NPC.
Right.
Another thing I have to put down. And I think that that will work. It depends on, like, there was a situation, right? Like, if you're out in the field, you're out of luck, right? But I thought about allowing players to adjust their abilities or skills or
give
talents.
Them all med kits if that's particularly what they need.
Yeah, you know, something like that. So I think that's very useful.
Also, specifically to the game that we were playing, since we were Starfleet officers,
yes,
you would have some kind of medical training throughout your courses because, you know,
I mean,
you never know what you're going to need.
We might have first aid, but I don't think we'd have like
I meant first
molecular
aid.
Not molecular biology. Well, like, yeah, molecular biology.
Not unless you're a science person.
Xenobiology things, right? Or some weird crap like that. So also you could do is adjust the emphasis of the game, right? Like if this character, now this happens in a lot of one-shots or con games or very short adventures where you give the players their pre-generated characters usually. And again, I'm going to use the term tight where the group or the group of player characters or characters all are needed to solve the adventure. So you could change the emphasis of the game.
Well, if it's a one shot, it's going to be kind of, you're going to have to pivot a lot if you're going to change the.
And so that's a little bit more difficult than just adjusting the character and giving them points and safe cracking if that's what they need to do at some
or
point.
Miraculously, the safe is open.
Well, I wouldn't do that, but.
I'm kidding.
I think those are interesting things that a GM could do, but pivot, like to try to change the direction of the adventure, that's tough because it depends on if it's a pre-written adventure, if it's something that came up on your own, and how much that character that you lost is important to the adventure.
Again, I think that the fact that the GM just let the rest of the characters figure it out was the best way to go about it, right? Because
right.
As a GM, sometimes you go, oh, without that character, how are they going to do this? But you forget that you're sitting at a table full of people who are playing a role-playing game that always come up with ideas that you never even thought about.
True. Yeah. Again, it depends a lot on the players, too. You're right. So I thought about another thing is allow another player to play the missing character. Now, having a player play two characters is always kind of difficult. They, depending on how what their skill level is, what their experience and their ability to be able to differentiate between one character and another. It all depends on the game. Like for me, I was thinking like in that Star Trek game, I could have thrown away, not thrown away, but got rid of my character because all I was an ensign, which I was really just like.
You were the operations guy, the one that.
Yeah. But I was, I mean, a lot of people had the skills that I did. The only skills that they didn't have were skills that were like really, because I took a certain type of skills. Which weren't really needed in this game, but I took a lot of skills like in like espionage because I went down that route kind of. So I had some weird skills, but for the most part, I didn't hardly ever use those skills. I used a lot of normal computer operations, starship operations, and stuff like that. So I could have said, you know what, let me play the medical officer. But in this case,
they took the character sheet with them. So
they took the character sheet with them. So I think allowing somebody to switch out of a character that may not be that important in solving the adventure to somebody who might be more important could work, and I think it would work. I think I have no problem with doing that. I think it might be necessary to do that. I think that's one other option you have as a GM.
I think with that option of letting, I would not just let one person do the character. What I would do is if that character came into play, I would pass him around to all of the different people and let each person take a turn playing that, having a chance to play that character, because what else are you going to do if you need the character and the character sheet is there? Just go ahead and pass it.
I had not thought of that. That's an interesting idea because that also alleviates the weight from one player and spreads it around to everybody.
Not only that, it makes it funny because
the personality differences.
Exactly. Not only that, not only the personality differences, but if you think about it, usually when a player is not in a game, we make fun of that player because they're not there, right? We say, well, oh, he can't help you right now. He's busy, or he took a trip or whatever. Different kinds of things. Make it funny because it's not that serious.
Right. I hadn't thought about that. That's a really good idea, is to, instead of having one player take two characters, like pass the duties around.
Well, there's also the fact that you can stick that character out there to as the first person that goes into the fight, right? Because he's not there.
Kill him off right away. I don't think the medical officer is going to go out into battle.
I'm just saying.
That's interesting. No, you're right. I think the idea of spreading the workload, I think, is a good idea. So that way, no one person feels like, oh, I got to play two characters, or the weight of that two characters. I gotta keep myself separated. And if they do it for a little while, it's okay. And then you give it to another character. That's actually a really good idea. I like it better than one player playing two characters. And then, like you said, there's different aspects of the personality, how they interpret how that character would react and act.
Well, and this isn't only for like a one shot or like a convention game, because sometimes you play one shots with your friends or something. They can't show up for the second session. So usually we just say they're not available right now or whatever and move on. But you could do the same thing if you needed that person to do something, right? Have somebody else roll for it.
Right. So we're talking about one shots, but what about, we can also talk about like long-term games.
Yeah.
And we've had this happen where
a person can't show up anymore on that day.
Let's say we were supposed to play on a Sunday or Saturday, and then they go, well, something came up, I have to go to some meeting.
We recently had that happen when I was running Shadowrun, and Alan was playing a sorcerer or a magician or magic user.
Yeah.
And the game was kind of centered around magic. So the first weekend he had to do something, and I go, okay, well, we'll just not play this time. And I tell Saul, as an aside, that it has a lot to do with magic, so I'm a little bit worried about you guys trying to figure it out. And Saul's told me something that made perfect sense to me. Don't worry about it. These guys can freaking figure it out one way or the other. They're going to do whatever they're going to do, right?
Wow, that's pretty good advice.
And so then the next time he couldn't make it, I go, okay, well, we'll just... Kern can't be here right now, or Curd can't be here right now. So, and they just, you know, bash their way through it, no problem.
Yes. Again, we're talking about people who've been playing a while, but you're right. I think when you as a GM don't panic about losing a player, I think it does help. I think the first time we did cancel the game, and it disappointed everybody because we're all excited about playing a role-playing game. and we just defaulted to probably playing board games or something, or not even getting together. But then when he said he couldn't do it again, you're like, okay, let's just charge forward ahead. And we're like, oh, okay. And I think it worked. I think when push comes to shove, the players are able to deal with the situation as it arises, even if it makes it really tough. Right. I think that's part of role-playing, right? That's part of the fun of getting over these difficult situations that would be made easier by if you had one player who could solve the situation by snapping his fingers. In this case, I don't remember the adventure, but I remember we didn't have any problems not having Kurt. I mean,
considering the fact that if you're playing Shadowrun, all the characters are badasses to start with, right? So if they can't do it one way, they can do it another way.
Right.
It may
one
not
way
be
or another.
Pretty, but you know, there you go. Which I think is what you should remember for all your games. You're not playing with characters that don't have skills, right? It's just they have different skill sets, each one.
As a player, I was thinking, what can a player do? Not just a GM.
Right.
We already talked about it. As a player, you don't focus on what you lost, right? We're like, God, we lost our chief medical officer. And it was funny because it wasn't us who lamented it, right? And then it was funny because at one point we're like, we needed something that the chief medical officer skill had. And then Jonah goes, if you only had a chief medical officer. And he was joking because he's the one that made the character. That was the character that got walked away with. But at the same time, he wasn't panicking. He was like, oh, man, I don't know what to do with you. I don't know what to, you know. He didn't panic. And us as players, we didn't panic either. We just kind of like you said, we didn't focus on what we lost. We just focused on overcoming that situation. And I think as a player, you can help a GM out by saying, oh, yeah, this is no big deal. We'll figure it out.
Well, I know, I remember that, and I wasn't there. I just remember Morgan ran a game for you and Bay, and your characters weren't exactly the characters that you created or decided to play didn't have some of the skills that you might have needed for being in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Or for the adventure.
Right.
But you guys just did it your own way. And
right.
Right?
Right. I mean, I think, like I said, like I mentioned earlier, you have to, as a GM, you pivot a little bit as far as adjust the game a little bit, and then as a player, you can't rely on what you don't have anymore, or what skill you didn't take, or what's missing from the party. You just you have to adapt to the situation and overcome it. And I think role playing is all about that, right?
Right.
I mean, sometimes you don't have everything you need for an adventure to be successful, but you figure out other ways of doing it. I mean, there's countless situations where players are up against something that could be easily solved one way or another, right? Because if something is missing or somebody's not there, they don't have the magical device for this or that, they are still able to deal with the situation. It may not be the way the GM had thought about it. It may not be the easiest way to have figured out if there was a player there that's now missing, but you are able to overcome the situation. I think it actually makes it a better game because people start thinking about, I don't know if you can think harder, but you can really...
Well, they think outside of the box.
Right, right. And that's what happened in Jonah's game. If you're that player that has to leave for whatever reason, say something to the GM. I think it was kind of rude. Like the person who left with the dog, his dog didn't get out. He just didn't like the game. Because I think I was watching the game and he looked at around him and there was a little kid on one side and another little kid on the other side. And he goes, oh, this game's not for me. And he left. He wanted to leave. And that's why he invented the story about the...
If he would have stayed, he would have realized that those little kids have been playing role-playing games for a long time and could probably...
And were terrible. No. Right. Right. That's his loss.
Right.
Because it was a really fun game.
You were saying that if you do need to leave, you should at least tell the GM.
Yeah.
And don't take the character sheet.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. I mean, maybe he intended on coming back. I could only guess as to why, because we took a break, right? We took a meal break.
Yeah.
And he left, and then, like, everybody left. And then people came back eating and stuff. And he just didn't come back. And I'm like, well, maybe he was intended on coming back, but got into another game, or he got roped into another game, or fell asleep. Who knows what happened? But at the very, I think he probably intended on coming back. I don't know why he would take the care sheet if he didn't intend on coming back. But if you're in that situation, if you're tired, if you are just don't like the game, maybe the game's not what you thought it was going to be. Like, this game is not what I really wanted to play in. Then you say, you know what? I'm tired. You can even make up something up, you know, and say, well, this game doesn't look like it's going to be fun for me. You can say, well, I'm tired. I overbooked myself. It was Sunday night, so I can see that not that big of a stretch that on Sunday night of a three-day weekend that you're tired. Yeah. But say something to the GM. And it's because not that Jonah was like, oh, my God, I'm wondering if he's going to come back. No, he just said, let's just start playing. And then if he comes back, okay, if not. And that's what every GM should do.
Right.
Not lament that the player left and took a character sheet. But I think as a player, as somebody who you don't want to be rude, you should say something. You know what? I'm really tired. I'm going to go get something to eat, but I'm not going to be back. And I think that's a good thing to do for your GM. So other things you could do, like, yeah, let's say outside of a convention, when, like what you did, we canceled one game, and then you're like, okay, we're not going to cancel two games in a row. We just went ahead and played. Another thing you can do is play a different game, right?
Right.
If you're at home. We played board games, but we could have easily switched to a different game that you want to play that everybody there would like to play.
Well, and after you, a lot of times it depends on the group, right? When the group that we play with, that is a whole bunch of different GMs, if someone can't show up, well, then they just can't show up and you just do it without them, right? Whether they've been in the game or not.
Right. I think
because most of those games are one shots, and if you can't make the second session, like I didn't make a second session for some of those games, you guys had no problems.
Right, we just kept going. Another thing is that they did. I think when I was going to go play that Saturday, and my mom got ill, and I had to cancel. They just played a different game.
Yeah.
They played a Quiet Year or something like that with three of them. So it was Morgan, Bay, and Cowie. And we were supposed to play Big Trouble in Little China or whatever.
A feng shui
game. It didn't happen because I had to cancel at the last minute. But they were like, okay, we're all together here.
We'll just do this.
We'll play this. And I think it worked out pretty good. I think there's all kinds of things you can do as a GM. The number one thing is not to panic. Oh, my God, that character's gone. What am I going to do? I think the best thing to do is to, like, think about the situation and trust your players, right? I mean, even if they're new players, even if they're people you don't know, trust that they're able to figure things out because that's what role players do.
Right.
Solve the situation and solve the problem. And I think every player likes a bit of a challenge in the game, and it's not about a combat challenge. I'm talking about like every player likes to be able to solve a mystery and think that they did something.
They came up with something.
Yeah. And I think that's what happened in our group when we were playing that Star Trek game and we didn't have a chief medical officer, is that we came in from a totally different angle. And because our roles were so good, the GM was like, well, I can't argue with that. I can't argue with the craziness of the idea that you came up with. And then your implementation seemed pretty solid. And then your dice rolls were on top of all those other two things. Made it so that you
did what you wanted.
Did what you wanted, even as far-fetched as it was. And I thought it was pretty brilliant how everybody seemed to be, like, really on board with the crazy idea that people had. I think it was pretty cool. I think it was a good game.
Yeah, it was an excellent game.
Yeah.
And I think that Jonah handled it perfectly well. The guy left. He took the character sheet, so that character is not in play any longer.
Yeah, we couldn't even...
You can't use him, so I guess the doctor is busy in sick bay.
Right, and then we couldn't even like use him as an NPC or anything because the guy took the character sheet. But I thought it was funny, and then we did well. I mean, I think
I think that most games where one character isn't there, it's gonna work out no matter what,
right?
Because all the role players sitting there, whether they're new or not new, are gonna they're gonna go, okay, well, he would have done that, but I can do it this way, right?
Right, and then I think, like you said, thinking outside the box. Finding alternate ways to solve the problem. I think that's what role playing is about. That is figuring things out that is not normal. Just obviously, well, we want to solve a medical problem. We have a medical person do it. But you know what? We don't have that guy. So we're talking from science. We're talking from the technical aspect. You know, biology, and all this other stuff. So I think in the end, I think players will rise up and be able to overcome a missing player. Even if that player is like crucial to the game, if it is But if they can't, or if it's really crucial, there's things a GM could do to turn the knobs a little bit on the characters. Okay, you know what? Maybe the site, like I said, the science officer can take a little bit of medical, just enough to get the job done.
Yes.
But because we're so brilliant, we didn't need that to happen. And I, you know, that's me tapping myself, patting myself on the back, and our fellow players. So I think it was a good game, or like you said, an excellent game. We did have a good time, and we surprised the GM because like he was like, "Wow, that's a crazy idea," and then because they were all fans of Star Trek, the other players were able to like, well, we could do this, and you know they had enough Star Trek knowledge about what to do, about transporters, about buffers, about all this stuff. And I was like, and it was like, it was really cool. I thought it was really cool. And it was really fun. And I think, like I said, I'm not sure this game would have been as fun if we had the medical officer, because the medical officer would have made it way easier to accomplish things.
And we may not have survived, too, because we might not have come up with the strange solution that you came up with.
Right. Yeah.
The idea. So it might have been different ideas, right?
Right, right. It would have been, we would have solved it a different way. This one was pretty amazing. I think as a GM, when you're missing a player, like I said, don't panic. And trust your players that they will overcome the situation that you put in front of them. It may be harder. It might take you, GM, to be able to, okay, maybe it's not going to happen the way you envision it. Like, you should never do that
anyway. It never does.
It never does, usually. Hardly ever does. I don't say it never does, but it hardly ever happens the way you envision it. Remember that and think about the whole point of this game is to have fun. And I think that's what you ultimately will happen, even if you're missing a player.
Well, and most GMs come across that anyway in their daily or their daily groups, in their groups that they play with. Inevitably, somebody has to go somewhere and is not going to make it that day.
Right.
So it's okay every once in a while we're going to cancel. It depends on how often you play, right? If it's every 2 weeks, okay, we're going to cancel it. And some of your players might be disappointed. But then the next time, if the person says the same thing, then you're like, well, I'm not going to cancel the game. So we're just going to march on and just do whatever we have to do.
Right.
And we'll figure it out.
So keep playing
is
the ultimate.
As a player and a GM, just come up with other ideas, or know that your players are going to figure it out whether you change something or not, right?
Right.
So there you go. Good luck. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene.
You have a good day.